This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
It's Wednesday the 17th of April. In your Squiz today, terror strikes in Sydney, the US hands over Assange documents, supermarket bosses face the music, and a giant pumpkin's newfound purpose. This is your Squiz today. Claire, major stabbing attacks in Sydney are still leading the news. Today, the focus is on the attack inside a southwestern Sydney church on Monday night that's been labelled a terror attack. And that's led New South Wales Police to be given extraordinary new powers and conduct searches to prevent any further suspected attacks.
So we mentioned this incident very briefly yesterday, and as the day unfolded, a lot more information came to light. This happened at the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley. It's an Assyrian church, which is a conservative Christian denomination. 53-year-old Bishop Marmari Emmanuel was giving the sermon. It was being live streamed, and a 16-year-old lunged at him with a knife, leaving him with very serious stab wounds. Another priest at the church named Father Isaac Royal, he was also injured, as was a worshipper who attempted to restrain the attacker. After that, the police commissioner, Karen Webb, said that an uncontrolled crowd formed outside the church, and she said that they attacked police officers who were just trying to do their jobs.
Yeah, and that left two police officers taken to hospital with injuries. At least 20 police cars were also badly damaged, and paramedics were blocked from getting to the scene. PM Anthony Albanese yesterday said that it was understandable that people were on edge after what happened in Bondi, but he said people should not take the law into their own hands.
And New South Wales Premier Chris Minns also weighed in. He called for calm in Sydney off the back of that attack. And just back to the issue of it being declared a terrorist attack, Commissioner Webb said that it was religiously motivated extremism. She says that the teenager was known to police after being arrested for a knife crime in January. ASIO boss Mike Burgess has also weighed in. He, of course, leads our National Security Agency. He said that while it's likely the attacker was acting alone, they're looking into whether anyone connected to him is of concern. He says that that's, and this is the quote, to assure ourselves there is no one else in the community with similar intent.
And as for the rioters, Commissioner Webb warned that they will be prosecuted. Religious leaders of all faiths have also spoken up. They've called for unity, and they say the horrifying attacks have no place in Australia. Julian Assange is a step closer to extradition to the US, Claire. Overnight, America provided the UK's High Court with assurances he wouldn't face the death penalty if convicted and that he'd be treated fairly.
It's easy to get lost in the legal wrangling of this case. So what it's about is Julian Assange asking the United Kingdom High Court to be allowed to appeal the decision that's already been made to extradite him to the United States. There was a bit of a question about whether the US would actually provide the court with that information, but they've now done that. Assange's family say that they're extremely distressed by that move. Their hopes were raised last week when US President Joe Biden said America was considering Australia's request to allow him to return home.
Of course, Assange is charged in the US with espionage and hacking for allegedly leaking classified information on his WikiLeaks website. The case is back in court on the 20th of May, and then sometime after that, a decision on whether Assange can appeal the UK's decision to extradite him to the US is set to be delivered. It's fair to say that outgoing Woolworths Group boss Brad Banducci did not receive the warmest of welcomes at the Senate committee inquiry into supermarket prices yesterday. He and committee chairman Nick McKim went head-to-head on measures of profitability.
Alice, I'm going to spare you the ins and outs of measuring a company's return on equity versus its return on funds employed. That's what they went head-to-head over. Greens Senator Nick McKim really went at Banducci about all of that, to the point where the Woolies boss was told that he could be held in contempt and sent to jail if he didn't answer the questions. Long story short, there was no version of Woolworths numbers that McKim would accept as showing a fair deal for consumers. Also, before that committee hearing was Coles boss Leah Weckert. She managed to dodge any mentions of prison time during her evidence, but that's not to say she got an easy ride either.
Yeah, supermarkets, their prices, how they treat suppliers, and what all of that means for consumers remains a political hot potato. And you can put this in your news diary. The committee will now finalise its report before it's due to be delivered by the 7th of May. Another young footy player has called it quits out of concern for his brain health, Claire. Collingwood Premiership player Nathan Murphy has quit after receiving advice from doctors about the impact of repeated concussions.
He's only 24 years old, a really big deal for a player that on any other measure would probably be at the start of their careers. But of course, after he played in last year's grand final, he was really under the microscope because he suffered a very bad head knock during that game. It was the 10th of his career. Yesterday, he said, "I love my footy, but my priority is on my future and ensuring I live a full and healthy life." And good on him for making that very difficult call. Of course, we've mentioned this topic a few times in recent months and even over the last couple of years. Concussions and brain disorders like CTE have become a very big issue across all sports, particularly those contact sports in recent times. Deaths have been linked to repeated head traumas, so it's very good that they're looking after things a bit more closely.
Yeah, and on that, there's been new guidelines handed down. They recommend any player who suffers a concussion has to sit on the sidelines for at least 3 weeks. And Murphy is the second star this year to retire early. Melbourne player Angus Brayshaw also had a sobering prognosis and called time on his career a couple of months ago. So as you say, Claire, they are starting to take notice. I wrote quite a few supersized fruit and vegetable stories back in my country newspaper days, Claire, but this one probably takes the cake. A regional New South Wales man has found an interesting use for a large pumpkin.
Alice, I now want to see your portfolio of work on reporting on supersized fruit and vegetable stories. If you can put that on my desk by early next week, I'd really appreciate it.
Consider it done.
Look, as far as this story goes, Adam Farquharson is this bloke's name. And when you say a large pumpkin, this one is a 407-kilogram Royal Easter Show winning monster pumpkin, and it was grown by his mate. I don't know if this is particularly relevant, but it's also named Tormund after the Game of Thrones character. So that's just an interesting fun fact for you. Farquharson is a keen canoer. So what he did last weekend is put it into the Tumut River and paddled down. He says he's someone, and this is the quote, he's a big one for shenanigans. He sounds like the perfect guide to be paddling a pumpkin down a river.
Yeah, he reckons 1,000 people watched from the riverbank as he did that, so his dreams have come true there. He says he's achieved a certain amount of worldwide fame, but he reckons it hasn't gone to his head. His exact quote, Claire, was, "I won't end up like Taylor Swift. I'll just get back to life as normal."
Good country bloke staying grounded. Good for him.
Claire, before we finish up, I'm ceding the mic to you to talk about this week's News Club episode.
Yeah, thank you for that. So this week, our News Club episode, head over there, just a little reminder, head to the News Club show and hit follow and you can stay up to date with these things. Kate spoke to Adam Harvey. In our part of the world, Adam Harvey is actually known as Eliza's husband. We don't even call him Adam Harvey. He's just Eliza Harvey's husband. Eliza Harvey, of course, longtime Squizzes will know, was part of our team and a much loved part of our team. Adam, though, has been a foreign correspondent and spent time in the Middle East. So Kate has done a really great interview with him, really getting to the nuts and bolts of how this conflict is being covered in the media, right down to the things about how journalists get their information from Israel, how they get it from authorities like Hamas, and how that information is put forward to us as news consumers. It's a really good one.
Yeah, as you say, if you're keen to listen to that episode, look for a News Club in your podcast app and hit follow. And that's it from us today. We'll be back with you again tomorrow.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.